gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Up to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Thank you, Buffalo. I love you, my hometown. Woo! I was up with my high school friends till 2:30 in the morning, yeah, drinking and eating pizza.
Just like the old days.
What do I think I'm 17 again? For God's sakes.
Drinking pink squirrels.
The whole DeSales high class of 79 was there. Woo!
Drinking grasshoppers?
Oh, I had Jenny Cremel on stage, for God's sakes. It was,
dear.
Look at this. Look at, can you see Ustream? My hometown paper put me on the, look, I'm a little homecoming queen.
Oh.
And as we all know, Mama was not the homecoming queen. Mama was an Armenian wolf child. Dude. Yeah, it looks like a dude.
Weren't you Miss Congeniality?
Well, that's the consolation prize for looking like an Armenian man.
Mr. Congeniality to you.
Yes.
All right. Oh, dear. A good time was had by all. The book meetings in New York went, the show pony part of the trip went fabulous. We're getting several offers, I understand, this week.
Oh,
for
Mama's really?
Little, the Mama's, I'll be writing that on Chardonnay-soaked napkins.
So we might be able to read your words someday?
Oh, if you can read them, they'll be scrawled on it. Then whoever can decipher it from the under the through the Chardonnay, okay, that'll be David Benner's
job. Chapter 3. Flarn.
Flarn and flarn. Hmm. All right. So,
you better back that up on carbonite.
And I stayed with my road husband, Roland, the tour director. I actually stayed with him.
The high-strung tour director, Roland?
Yes, that, yes.
Yes.
My road husband. And I stayed with him in his apartment. Here's one thing I neglected, I didn't hear, is he only has one bed. I thought he said he had another bed. So the first night I was on the couch, no sleep. Then the second night I was in bed with Roland.
Okay.
And
then
his bed hog, that's dog, Butters.
Butters?
Butters. Yes. And Roland was a little sick, so very snoring. That's something I learned about my road husband, a little bit snoring. Thanks, yeah, Roland.
I've found that people who live in New York City, mm-hmm, don't tend to have a second bed.
He does, but it's the office for Sexy Liberal Incorporated, so there's no bed in there.
I see.
I did not realize that.
Okay.
When making my travel plans.
And you don't get any air at night, because who wants the windows open in New York?
Right.
But I got him back. You know why? Because I can't really travel unaided. Here's what happened. So the first day he made, I don't know, coffee for me, like in a little...
In a French press?
Yeah, something fancy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's a good way to make coffee.
Yeah. And he said just to turn it on or whatever when it's... So I did, and...
Turn it on?
Just turn on the stove and it'll whatever, but the handle was
the
hot and I couldn't find a towel, so I did. I used a paper towel and that lit on fire.
Oh, great.
And Roland was sleeping and the kitchen was on fire. And then I thought he had said, and there's a bowl there, which looks like sugar. It turned out to be salt. So I put salt. So then he's like, that's all the coffee there is. We're all out.
Wow.
And then the next morning, he had a cup of coffee in the fridge from a deli.
Right.
And he said, just heat that up. So I put that in the microwave, and the cup exploded because it was just, yeah. So then that was.
Wow. Don't you miss New York?
All right. But anyway, a rockin' time in Buffalo. And the big year-end show, Fort Lauderdale, ladies and gentlemen, December 10th. I may get to the end of this year without... I didn't have my rose moment. I may make it to the end of the year.
Good!
Yeah, and then we're off to Portland. Portland is the first big show in 2012 on January 7th. Oh, home again. Back with the Stephsons.
Jane, stop this crazy thing!
The show is just turning into gibberish, really. I think of you as my irritating little brother or something. There must be some pictures of that sexy liberal, my girlfriend Lisa.
Human animal hybrids are people. No, they're not. Yes, they are.
I know that. You think I don't know that?
I'm struggling to find enough words with the water at all.
You know, thank you, Mike and Holly.
I briefly got to play George Jetson in the Jetsons movie.
Wow.
Back in the 80s with what's her name?
Tiffany.
Tiffany.
Tiffany
thought,
was Jane.
Yeah.
Or not,
no, the daughter. Judy.
Judy.
Yeah.
I thought I knew every Jim Ward fun fact.
There's one scene, because George O'Hanlon actually passed away while they were doing the movie. Yeah.
Oh.
So there were several of us that filled in for him. And I'm in the orbiting asteroid scene with Ronnie Schell as the robot.
Is this yet another movie in which you're killed in the first scene, or no?
No, no.
You live? Awesome. All right. Here's a fun fact. The Stephanie Miller Show, the only thing Jim Ward's ever survived so far.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going on 8 years now.
I feel happy.
Kids,
happy.
We have a dignity, another deity.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard. Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world. I don't know what that means. Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Good morning, Eric Bollard.
Good morning.
I loved your piece this week on the Breitbart editors won't stop digging.
Yeah.
When they base a whole story on something that's completely fallacious, and then instead of just saying, we regret the error, what happens?
This was really sad because it revolved around a sad incident over the weekend. A week ago, there was an Occupy Savannah activist was shot and killed in the city, unrelated to any sort of protesting or Occupy Savannah. In fact, he was killed 10 miles away from the campsite. So, of course, what is the Andrew Breitbart editor-in-chief do at big government? He writes a post saying someone had been killed inside the Occupy Savannah camp. So the police and the local press had already reported as fact that this activist was killed 10 miles away, but this idiot on Breitbart's site writes this item up saying, you know, yet another, you know, sign of, you know, but basically it's saying that Occupy Savannah had lured this person to his death. I mean, disgusting, immoral, beyond belief.
I help
point that out, that A, this is factual. So 2 days later, they quote, update the item and saying the police have now confirmed there is no connection. Well, the police confirmed that 2 days ago.
Yeah, right.
No retraction, no correction, no apology. And then at the end of the week, some other idiot over there writes up a whole nother item, you know, yelling at Media Matters for telling the truth and still suggesting that Occupy Wall Street was to blame for this murder. I mean, it's just
I love that. They point out the true culprit, Media Matters, just for pointing out that this was completely untrue. Yeah,
I mean,
love that.
These people are really beyond contempt. I mean, this is not partisan journalism. This is not yay for our team. This is not we're going to spin the facts. Right. This is like politicizing someone's death and doing it in an insanely dishonest way and not having the balls to admit you got it 100% wrong.
Yep, exactly. Here's another example of why you complete me and had me at hello.
Oh, boy.
I was reading your piece about Rick Perry, made headlines when his team purchased $1 million worth of ad time on Fox and yada, yada. Right. And I was thinking in my head, isn't it redundant for GOP candidates to advertise on Fox News? And I look up, and that's actually the name of the post that you wrote. I had skipped down, and I was like, why do you need to buy advertising on Fox if you're a Republican, right?
Yeah, there was an interesting piece in Ad Age last week about, you know, Fox is hoping to really, you know, cash in on the primary season. That's where Republicans want to go to reach Republican viewers. And Rick Perry, you know, just made this $1 million buy and things like that. But, yeah, if you take a step back, I mean, why would you pay Fox News to advertise what they advertise all day long? I mean, Media Matters has pointed out constantly, you know, just the endless flood of free advertising they give the candidates, you know, just a parade of people on the show, some on for 5, 10, 20, 30 minutes a month, and they're always softball questions. They never criticize anyone. So, yeah, if you're writing checks to, you know, advertise and promote yourself, why would you write a check to the guy who does it for free all the time?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
And finally, before we get to the right-wing world, one of your last posts is going to foreshadow the first bite in the right-wing world. You just write, wow, Fox Nation claims Obama's would-be assassin linked to Occupy protests.
Yeah,
That's the stretchiest of the stretches, isn't it? The guy that shot at the White House?
Yeah, and this was after he had been charged with assassination attempt, and after three law enforcement officials had told the Washington Post there was no connection to this guy in Occupy D.C. A few days earlier, there had been reports that the police went over there and they thought maybe he had been sort of hiding out or camping there. Three law enforcement officials tell the Washington Post no connection. So what does Fox Nation do? Headline, Obama would-be assassin linked to Occupy D.C. I mean, again, it goes back to the Breitbart stuff.
Right.
I mean, this is, 100% false stuff that's just used in the most in the most despicable way.
Eric, why do I have the feeling that you and I are going to be, you know, taking note of things for the next decade that are anything bad is linked to Occupy? Somewhere, anything bad that happens. Probably the asteroid that's coming toward Earth that's probably somehow linked to an Occupy.
Yeah.
All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what it's doing. Bill Cunningham, if you can't be good, be loud.
Oh, boy.
That's his motto. If you can't be right, be loud.
Yeah.
On Hannity on the
Occupy. Months ago, Obama launched the reaction of the Tea Party with the Occupy movement in connection with his friends from Chicago, Rahm Emanuel, Ayers, Bernadine Dorn, Jeremiah Wright, and all over the country, the one percenters who represent some of the worst aspects of American culture, they're the ones out there making fools of themselves. But the media, because they're generally in allegiance with the views of the 1%, and you and I both agree that what they say makes some sense, but there's no bridge or nexus between what they're doing and any significant change. The people that change America work for a living and do not commit crime. These individuals largely do not work for a living and they're committing crimes.
Everything I say is wrong, but I'm saying it really loudly.
There was a whole lot of wrong with that.
Wow. Obama launched the Occupy movement with Bill Ayers? Wow. He does have superpowers.
They do tend to lean towards conspiracy, i.e. all of this was launched out of the White House, just like the White House is in deep relations with Acorn and the New Black Panther Party. And any boogeyman that they can find suddenly has these incredibly strong ties to the White House. Of course, there's been reporting and actually some sort of ad hoc polling that a lot of people in Occupy Wall Street are not happy with the Obama White House.
Yeah.
Launch something that opposes them.
It's just more code on Fox for boo, scary black people. And we're going to mention some more and run some more video.
Yeah.
All right, Eric, I'm winded by the first soundbite already, so you'll have to stay tuned in the sidecar while we continue Right Wing World.
Yeah.
All right, 19 minutes after the hour. Right back with Eric Bollard and more Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What is this? What's going on?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Now we got to do speed Right Wing World. We were so chatty.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, right? All right. Eric Bollard remains with us for Media Matters. Oh, what do you say? Some more Occupy bashing? Why not? Dana Perino and Andrea Tantaros.
I want to ask her something about to react to Senator Tom Coburn of Oklahoma, who said that it gets to the nut of what do they want at Occupy Wall Street? What he said is what they want us to do is a mass distribution of wealth, saying, I don't have to earn it. You've got to give it to me. And when you have that, republics fail. And what they're proposing is the end of our country.
Yes.
Do you think that is over the top or accurate?
No, I think that's accurate. And the greatest irony of all, Dana, is this is anarchy in the name of big government.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what's so crazy about the whole thing.
It's crazy.
Wow.
Crazy.
Well, at least
people.
They finally know what it's about. It's about ending the country, because they've been pretty clear about that.
But you know what's funny is to think back on what the 60s would have been like if Fox News were around.
Yes.
If the anti-war movement, what Fox News would have done with the anti-war movement, and even the civil rights movement, I'm sure. Every adjective they've applied to Occupy Wall Street, they would have amplified it 10 times in terms of the anti-war movement.
The country's under attack by communist Negroes, smelly hippies.
Exactly. Eric, once again, you complete my thoughts and my life. I was great article in the Times this weekend, an uprising with plenty of potential, but that's exactly right. It's just the people that really know the history of social and civil rights movement in this country. The best quote I heard was, you can't evict an idea whose time has come. And that's why they're so frantic on the right to just say, oh, this was nothing, and now they're gone. Never mind. move on.
And they're most of them weren't around in the 60s, and they're desperate to relive sort of the ultimate cultural war. And this is exactly what it would have looked and sounded like.
Yep.
Kent State, all that stuff. Fox News would have been cheerleading 24/7.
Yep, exactly. David Asman on
Asman.
Sure. I can call him whenever I want. I've had Christmas dinner with him.
Yeah, you have.
Up next, more cities evicting Occupy Wall Street protesters.
Yep.
Is this a victory for capitalism?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Fox question. Yeah. In the name of the...
Now, You know, it's funny. He hosts a, like Eric Bolling, he hosts a show on Fox Business. And his is the lead-in to Eric Bolling. And together, they host the two lowest-rated shows on all of cable news universe.
Oh, no.
I won't bring that up if I'm invited to Christmas dinner this year.
Bolling beats Aspen's show by 2,000 viewers.
Oh, dear.
And combined, they don't even have 70,000 viewers.
Oh. Dozens of viewers.
Frank Luntz on Hannity's radio show.
The thing, Sean, that I'm shocked about is because Gingrich was so low, he was down to 4% back in July.
Yep.
These Republicans have only seen him in debates and interviews. They've not seen any ads. He's got no organization. He's got no phone banks. Nothing. They were responding to his intellect, and it is almost like he is the ultimate anti-Obama candidate. Obama is about words. Newt Gingrich is about ideas.
He is perfect. He's perfect in every way as a candidate. You go with him.
Hey, his great idea now is to have school kids work as janitors. Get rid of child labor laws.
And I love the idea that Republican voters have really have no idea who's this new Newt Gingrich guy. Watching his ads.
Oh, he's all shiny and new.
He's only been on TV every day for 15 years.
Big ideas, Jim. Big ideas like that one.
Huge ideas, frankly.
Shut up.
Gigantic.
Clamp those keys onto your belt and get to work. Shut up. You don't need to
learn
math. Too
big for the television, frankly. My ideas are so huge.
Oh, boy. Here's Rush Limbaugh on Jerry Sandusky. How did you know this was coming?
Yeah. It's not so much pedophilia, that's what this is, but it's that Sandusky has to be, he's a gay guy.
Oh.
Nobody's mentioning that aspect. Because it's just too dangerous. And the reason why is because of the power of the gay lobby, which is very leftist.
I see. Except that pretty much any psychologist or whatever would tell you he's a straight guy with four kids, as are a lot of most pedophiles are straight identified males, right?
But the gay mafia holds an enormous sway over the press and everyone else. Most people were smart enough, you know, in the political realm and even the punditry realm to, you know, not try to politicize that story and not try to, you know, use it for a partisan game. But not Rush Limbaugh, because...
Yes, and once again, it's been ignored because it's not true.
Right.
That's why. All right, yeah, Eric Bollert.
When's Rush going to talk about his trip to the Dominican Republic?
I wonder. Maybe this week. Okay.
On there.
All right. Erica Bollard, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There you go. Okay. 29 minutes after the hour. His Rudeness, the Rude Pundit, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
But man, I'll tell you, all that purging just makes her body look fantastic.
So that's your secret.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for all the Facebook comments. Eat a sandwich.
Well,
thank you. All my high school friends yelled at me, eat something! I'm like, all right.
Well, weren't you a lot chubbier in high school?
Yes. In college, yikes, I was a sophomore-a-saurus.
Oh, dear.
Freshman 5, yikes.
All those grasshoppers you drank.
Exactly. Somehow I thought that was dietetic because it was green.
Oh, no, but it's made with cream. Pure whipping cream.
Green, like a vegetable.
Yeah.
The Republicans would categorize that as a vegetable in grade school. Grasshoppers. Okay. Oh, by the way, we ran out of time for one bite and sound in Right Wing World that Eric Bollert had tweeted about. Jim, you made a good point. I don't know if you heard about this. So Fox News thought it was funny. Right wing bloggers loved it. That the First Lady of the United States got booed at NASCAR.
Huh. Yeah, at a NASCAR event outside of Miami.
Ass hats at a NASCAR event. That's so weird.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the outcry if liberals had booed Nancy Reagan ever?
And Chris made a good point. They didn't.
Because they're decent, polite people.
Yes. As Eric Bollert tweeted, stay classy, red states. Way to go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Michelle Obama and Jill Biden.
And now, please welcome our Grand Marshals, Sergeant Andrew Berry and family, First Lady of the United States, Michelle Obama, and Dr. Jill Biden, as they deliver the most famous words in motorsports.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
And they were standing up there with some kids, too, who heard the booze.
Good.
Yeah.
Yes, that's the way to show the kids how to be decent humans. Sure. All right. All right, let's get rude.
Lee Papa.
It's Lee Papa, the rude pundit.
As if that wasn't rude enough.
Yeah. Right? See that segue? We're like the Captain and Tennille of segues. Good morning, Rude.
Good morning. Oh, my people, my southern people.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my cracker friends just acting like crackers. It's great. Live the stereotype, be the stereotype.
Just crackers acting like crackers.
Yeah.
I smell today's post from Rude Pundit. All right. Rude, you have some, as you say, you post, this is some shaky cam video the Rude Pundit, pundit took the day after Bloomberg's goons wrecked the Zuccotti Park encampment, and it is scary. It is like Blair Witch Project, your shaky camera.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. But, you know, this really is incredible. You know, when you go around the country, I mean, the pepper spraying, you know, 83-year-olds and pregnant women. And
oh, and that line of students
yeah,
at UC
yeah,
Davis that was
there.
Just sitting
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
That's horrifying.
Yeah, with their hands, just look, you know, and he's pepper spraying them in the face. How do I know he's going to trigger Jim's German singing?
That's the host Vesselit.
Yeah.
And you know, if somebody had tried to stop the cop from doing it, if somebody from the crowd had tried to stop the cop from doing it,
they would have been shot.
Oh yeah, they'd have been. It would have made Kent State look like a party. Uh-huh.
Well, and how sadly ironic it is. I was telling you, you know, when we did the San Francisco Sexy Liberal, we gave some money to Scott, you know, for Scott Olson and Veterans for Peace, the guy that was injured in,
right.
you know, and then somebody was injured in the protest against protesting. What happened to Scott Olson?
Right.
There was another vet injured. I mean, and so this UC Davis was, they were protesting the violence in Occupy Oakland, right?
Well, they were not just just protesting that, but, you know, everybody's clamoring for goals for the Occupy movement, and they were actually specifically protesting a hike in tuition.
Right.
So they had a goal that they could have been, you know, talked to and negotiated with and all of that. But no. Pepper spray, way easier. What I actually doubly love about the students there, well, I could go triply love, some triple love this morning,
mm-hmm.
Is that they still didn't move. They didn't cower and run
right.
while the guy was – mm-hmm. they still had to be, you know – picked up and dragged away with their arms locked, entwined with each other.
Yeah.
And the other thing I love was...
Well, that's how you know they weren't posing a threat. Their arms were interlocked. They're just sitting there.
The police were talking about that they were encircled and the police were feeling threatened and trapped. And
it's
I thought,
on
did you
camera.
Try, yeah, did you try stepping over them?
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, if they had tried to grab you and stop you from leaving their circle, well, then, yeah,
right.
maybe there's a problem.
Yeah,
but...
and how sick is that? Oh, their arms are interlocked so they can't protect their faces. Like, what?
Yeah.
And then
there was this, just the other thing was they did this amazing silent protest, if you get a chance to watch the video, of the students lined up the sidewalk where the chancellor was leaving her office and just stood there silently as she walked to her car.
It was very moving.
Yeah. Rude, you talk about, I love this piece, 30,000 who took part in the Foley Square Brooklyn Bridge March. That's from the NYPD, not Occupy Wall Street, so suck on that, Tea Party number fluffers.
Yes.
But, you know, you echo a piece that I was just talking to Eric Bollard about in the Times about that was entitled An Uprising with Plenty of Potential. But, you know, I was saying my favorite quote from it is you can't evict an idea whose time has come.
Right.
And you write a great piece about this week.
Right. That essentially that this is not conforming to ideas of what a movement is supposed to be like. This is something that they're creating on the fly. And so the ideas are just becoming coming into focus right now. It began as sort of a truly emotional outpouring and reaction, and now it's gone from the embryonic stage now to needing some birthing.
Well, yeah. But you point out that you crystallize it with Karl Rove asking these protesters, who gave you the right to occupy America? You say the real question is, who took that right away?
Yeah. I mean that was just a crazy moment. The occupiers got into where Karl Rove was speaking at Johns Hopkins University, and started to chant against him, and he said this, "Who gave you the right to occupy America?" Which is just the most bizarre thing. It's as if that right was there to be given and taken away. And I just shut up, you know.
Yeah.
I'm so sick of these figures from the 90s and 2000s. You know, Newt Gingrich and Karl Rove. It's like time is moving past you.
Yeah, move aside, relics.
Right, exactly.
You make a great point. You say we are 2 months into this, and everyone in the media is clamoring for closure. It took years for the civil rights movement to get laws changed. It took years for the anti-Vietnam War movement to get through the thick skulls of the majority of Americans. This is just starting. Welcome to the real occupation. You say right now the whole Occupy Wall Street narrative arc is following a well-worn script: defiance of authority followed by crackdown on the agents of authority. And this is exactly what the Times piece points out with all of these, you know, historians and civil rights, people that documented those movements in this country.
Right, that it has to start with the spontaneous protest is part of it, and then it forms into something else. It's got to have that outpouring, that public support. If you begin with a list of ideas, then all you're doing is, then you really are just some... just a tool of some party or some kind of authority. Instead, this is developing organically, and that's what I think is scaring the hell out of the banks in that memo that came out recently that told the banks to be very worried about the Occupy movement, is that it is so organic and it can't be pinned down, and it is leaderless.
Yep.
So there's nobody you can just go after and take out.
Well, and you know, as you say, there's power in numbers. That power needs to be exhibited and enacted, and I think that's what's scaring people is, you know, a Senator Elizabeth Warren, right? It's like that, because her work is the intellectual underpinning of this, this movement, isn't it?
Absolutely, and I frankly love that she is not making her campaign into "I am the Occupy Wall Street candidate." I think that's very smart of her, and it allows the movement to develop separately. But you know, you can be really cynical about this, and it's very cynical, like the Brooklyn Bridge March that recently happened. There was no goal. The goal was to cross the bridge. There was nothing that they were going to get by crossing the bridge. Yes, there was some disruption of traffic, but ultimately they stayed on the walkway.
Right.
But what they did was they demonstrated how many people they could get out with just a simple call. And for every person that was out there, you know, there's always hundreds more who want to be there.
And by the way, the main reason you know there's something more to see here, as Eric Bowler and I were talking about, is because everyone on Fox News and right-wing world is saying there's nothing more to see here.
Yeah, right.
They wouldn't be saying it if they weren't a little panicked.
Oh, they're freaking out. They're freaking out. And I love, it was a Gingrich who said at the debate or forum or whatever it was, go get a job after you take a bath, Gingrich said to the Occupy Wall Streeters. It's like, really? Isn't it really the point that they can't get jobs? And are you, what point do you actually listen to anything anybody
says?
Yes,
that's what it's about, moron. It's about
right.
the unemployment and
right.
income inequality. But speaking of Newt, maybe my favorite Rude Pundit post ever, I have to say. You write, "Now Newt. Really, GOP? Newt Gingrich is now? Really?" Deciding to move on to Newt Gingrich because Herman Cain was too tainted by a sex scandal is like moving on to crack once meth has lost its allure. Just shut the up already and nominate Mitt Romney as your mad godhead. It's true. I literally go, how much longer is this going on?
Really? And it's absurd, because how fast was it that everybody realized, oh, wait, he really is that douchebag that just gets money from every special interest to change his opinions whichever way the weather goes?
Yes. Well, as you succinctly say, Newt Gingrich is as appalling a globule of corrupt phlegm as the rheumatic lungs of the body politic has ever hacked up. It's just so descriptive and true. Forget for a moment you say his government shut down his push for investigating every fake scandal of the Clinton administration. He's being driven out of D.C. like a rabid raccoon because of ethics violations. His hypocritical flogging of family values while he was ending every marriage by another woman, and leaving out the hospital visit to the cancer-ridden first wife to discuss the terms of breakup, not to mention his line of credit at Tiffany's. Forget all that. If you want to know what a vindictive, awful, petty mother... this mother is, check this out. And you talk about when they were gearing up for the impeachment, he had a plan to impeach Al Gore, too.
Right. Yeah, yeah. This is what he said. He said that we have to be ready. We have to be ready to impeach Gore if the impeachment ends up in a conviction of Clinton and Clinton leaves office. If Gore pardons Clinton.
Yeah.
And so then we have to impeach Gore. So there's got to be a plan for that.
Sure. Let's put the country through that. Yeah.
And wait. And who was next in line for president at that point?
Oh my! That would have been the Speaker of the House.
Yeah.
Isn't that?
Huh.
I'm sure he never thought that far ahead. But yeah. You just write, Gingrich is just a giddy, bloated, rich windbag whose academic credentials give him the importeur of expertise where none exists. He is 100 pounds of in a 50-pound bag. You close perfectly. His idiotic contract with America, which heaved itself out on the same post-Reagan cesspool as Grover Norquist's destructive pledge, leads directly to the current partisan madness that has wreaked havoc on the nation. He nearly ripped the nation apart. Nominating Newt Gingrich for president is like giving the drunk the keys to the new car right after he wrapped the last one around a telephone pole. Bully! I say bully on you. Nicely done, Newt Pundit.
Well, thank you. And then, as if to prove me right, Newt Gingrich also said this past weekend that child labor laws are stupid.
Jim just pointed that out.
Yeah. Child labor laws are stupid because, you know, especially in poor neighborhoods.
Put them to work.
Yeah, right after Herman Cain said the Taliban is going to take over Libya. Oh, God, can we just end? Can we put this field out of its misery?
Please.
God, when is this over?
And then Gingrich is the one that back in the day said that there were poor houses, that there were orphanages and poor houses. These Ebenezer Scrooge.
Are there no workhouses, frankly?
Yeah. Yeah. He's Ebenezer Scrooge. He's a fat Ebenezer Scrooge.
Gotta get rid of the surplus population, frankly.
Root, blanket the earth, before you go quickly. Is that still going on?
It is. I'm probably going to go do it in Philadelphia now, since New York is no longer there. Blanket the Earth is something where I want people to, on Friday, day after Thanksgiving, instead of going shopping, bring blankets and cold weather gear to whatever occupations are still remaining. And I actually have a list up at my blog, rudepundit.blogspot.com, of places that are still going, and bring supplies there to demonstrate that the occupiers have support of the people that aren't camping out.
Yep. And by the way, other people on the side of the angels, a New York City chef, Eric Smith, is making a big Thanksgiving dinner for Occupy Wall Street protesters.
Cool.
So I think he's trying to see if they'll go to Woodstock, you know, to get out of the city for a while or whatever. But he's got 150 turkeys, 400 pounds of potatoes, mounds of stuffing, and yada, yada. So,
oh, the vegans are going to be upset.
Well, yeah.
There's something for everybody.
Yeah. Better be some tofurkey there.
All right. Rude Pundit, happy Thanksgiving, honey.
Same to you.
All right. 47 minutes after the hour, as Jim Ward said earlier, the Super Committee, not so super.
No.
Who could have seen that coming? Mm. Oh, everyone. Okay. We'll talk about all that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 52 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere to join the party. I was never feeling super, frankly, about the Super Committee. I think I've mentioned that. I know Marcus Bachman was. I was not, technically.
I'm super! Thanks for asking. All things considered, I couldn't be better, I must say. I'm feeling super.
Yep.
And nothing bugs me.
No.
Everything is super when you're... Don't you think I look cute in this hat?
All right, despite the cute hats.
John Kyle never looks cute in a hat.
Not much got done. Senator Patty Murray, co-chair of...
There is one sticking divide, and that is the issue of what I call shared sacrifice, where everybody contributes in a very challenging time for our country.
Tax increases. That's the
Bush tax cuts, and making sure that any kind of package includes everybody coming to the table, and the wealthiest of Americans, those who earn over $1 million every year,
have to
share too.
Yep.
And that line in the sand, we haven't seen any Republicans willing to cross yet.
Yeah, exactly. Senator Pat Toomey, the Republican of Pennsylvania,
I remain hopeful that we can meet our goal, and I urge my Democratic colleagues to join us in this effort.
And what is their goal, Chris? It is running the economy into the ground so the president loses the election.
Exactly.
That's kind of pretty much gone on record as saying.
The Democrats have been the ones who have wanted to compromise on pretty much everything. It's the Republicans that are digging in their heels and won't cross their artificial line in the sand.
Yeah, here we go again. I was going to say there's a great piece in the New York Times about this whole thing. It just, you have to put this in some historical perspective to understand it. The headline was TAC pledge may scuttle a deal on the deficit. It's this friggin' Grover Norquist, and as Rude Pundit pointed out, Newt Gingrich was one of the original architects of this, and it just makes no sense, mathematically or otherwise. Listen to this. New York Times, Sunday, three-quarters of Americans, including more than half of Republicans, say they believe that any deficit reduction plan should include tax increases, according to a recent New York Times CBS poll, but congressional Republicans not so sure. I mean, this is what we keep talking about. They are not. How many times can I say, being back at my hometown this weekend, they're not my dad and Goldwater Republicans. They're not even Reagan's Republicans. Reagan raised taxes 11 times because of the deficit.
And who the hell is Grover Norquist that they have to sign?
Yeah, exactly.
Who
elected him? Republicans on the Deficit Reduction Super Committee have offered a deal just listen to the math of it, with 24 cents of every dollar in savings coming from tax increases and the other 76% from spending cuts. The latest proposal, even if agreed to by the committee, might have trouble surviving the full Republican caucus. Even that's not going to be enough for this Republican Party. Nearly every Republican in Congress has signed this pledge. Never to raise taxes, regardless of how much red ink exactly is on the country's books. But previous congressional budget deals relied significantly more on taxes than anything on the table now. Again, here's some let's do some nostalgia. Historical perspective, shall we? In the five fiscal grand bargains of the 1980s and early 90s, tax increases accounted for an average of 61 cents of every dollar saved. In fact, President Reagan's 1982 and 84 budget trimming deals, more than 80% of deficit reduction came from tax increases. I mean, and this is the party that keeps claiming Reagan, right?
Yep.
At every debate.
The fantasy Reagan, not the real one.
Yes.
Right.
What's
not
more,
the real one that raised taxes.
Yes.
Right.
What's more, the deals passed with majority support from both parties. This is when Reagan... Okay. Mr. Reagan, maybe remembered as an anti-tax hero, but he actually raised taxes 11 times over the course of his presidency, all in the name of fiscal responsibility.
Yeah.
It's something today's Republicans might want to check into. A historian was talking about historically. They said Congress, there was a different makeup of the United States Congress than there is now. There was much more willingness to reach across the aisle in a bipartisan manner for the good of the country as opposed to the next election. I make this point all the time. I was back in my hometown in Buffalo, and I went for a run on Delaware Avenue, and I ran by accident into Miller Fillmore Hospital, which is where my dad died.
No.
That's the last time I saw my dad in 1983, and I just started crying. I mean, my stomach was like, oh.
Yeah.
But it also may remind me of all the stuff we talk about. And this is not my dad's Republican Party. They actually did reach across the aisle. They did get stuff done. This is... all right. So, slowly, the old Republican guard was replaced. With each subsequent budget bargain, more and more Republicans jumped from the anti-deficit bandwagon to the anti-tax one egged on by conservative groups. This is what the Tea Party has wrought, and I can't imagine what my dad and Goldwater would think of this group. Even this Republican field. Anyway, the Times piece ends with saying in 1982, NBC News poll, 77% said deficits should be reduced by spending cuts alone, about the same share that now want. It's completely flipped.
Yeah.
They now want tax increases. Experts don't know how to explain this, but say it could reflect today's lower tax rates. Again, in 1982, the top tax rate was 50%. It's 35% right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're screaming about taxes are too high.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's not the attitudes that change, said the pollster. It's the facts.
No.
That's what we have today, is a Republican Party that won't even deal in facts and basic math, like
facts,
even the Reagans
bias
of the world did. And it's just, I don't know where we go from here, but here we are again. All right. Got that out of my system.
Oh,
50.
Now more fart jokes
after
the
there
break.
Wow, there was a lot in my craw. It was full. 58 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen. gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour.
Thanksgiving came early.
Yes, the tryptophan is kicking in. Oh, boy.
The big rich right-wing radio host has his own private chef.
Yeah.
And so when we get the little, like, I'm like the match girl.
Yeah.
I just stand out there with a mat. Can we have some food over here in the liberal station?
He's going to have a crust of pumpkin pie.
and they take pity and feed us. Because we are Occupy Radio.
Yeah.
Okay. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Crystal Boy, voice deity Jim Ward. Back for all 3 hours. Woohoo!
Yay!
The band's back together full time. Wee-hee. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Philip and Joyzy was at the big hometown show in Buffalo on Saturday. Hey, Philip.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good, baby. I'm drunk on Jenny Cream Ale, and you?
That's a good thing. I can't be drunk. I'm driving my truck, of course. But the show was great. You were awesome. It was an honor to meet you.
Thank you.
And I gave you some CDs to give to Jim Ward. Did you give them to him?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Right, there were the 9/11 stuff, right?
Right.
Yes.
So please ask Jim Ward to send them back to me once he's finished listening to them.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
And did you open the box?
I will do it on one condition, and that is that you blow your horn for me.
Of course it is.
All right. I love you, Philip. Thanks for coming to the big show. All right. It was what an awesome show. What an awesome, it's a hometown. I cried like a baby when I said goodbye to my high school friends.
Really?
Yeah, very touching.
Weren't they mean to you?
No.
Oh.
No, it was very touching that a lot of people. There was only 52 people in my class. I think they all were there. It's very touching that they all showed up for Mama.
Aww.
Yeah, it was hilarious. We met at a restaurant for dinner beforehand, and Roland, our tour director, said the restaurant said to him, "Could you tell them to use their inside voices?"
Oh.
We have that decibel level that girls have when they haven't seen each other in 10 years. Just.
Upstate flat A. All over the place.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I came from Chickawaga. Wow. Oh, God.
You too? So did I.
Could you keep it down, please?
No!
Oh, it's a little walk down memory lane. I walked by Studio Arena Gym. That's where I took acting classes. All I remember is speech class and them making you say Bumblebee Mom 1,000 times. Bumblebee Mom, Bumblebee Mom.
Oh,
say it. There was this acting teacher that sounded like that.
Yeah, we did How Now, Brown, How.
And that led to my... freezing frosts, she stands amongst the frozen posts and thrusts her fists against the posts.
That led to my clearly spectacularly successful acting career here in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Thank you, Studio Arena.
Well, I got you a USC theater degree.
Yeah. Got me an audition to play the Green M&M. Remember that? I didn't get it, but, I had an audition.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Remember, the casting director said, you know what? The green M&M is a sexy, confident candy. And I was like, I don't know. I've only played the really insecure candies like Malamar. Sorry.
Charleston
Chew. Twizzlers. I've only played a Twizzler. Sorry.
Yeah. But you were a nun.
It's when I first learned that when things, when somewhere God shuts a window, he shuts a door, too, and then you're screwed.
Yeah.
Completely.
It got you to play a nun in a Valerie Bertinelli made-for-TV movie.
An extra. No lines.
Scrubbing the floor.
Yes. Yeah. A lot of scrubbing, no lines. All right.
And IMDb still lists you as a member of the cast of Happy Birthday to Me.
No, I wasn't in
No,
that.
You were not in a slasher movie.
It was some other failed Stephanie Miller, apparently. I thought I was the only one.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, thank you, hometown. That was really fun. Oh, my goodness. And by the way, the big year-end spectacular is at Fort Lauderdale, December 10th. I believe they've released a tiny bit of tickets because it's been sold out.
We're
doing the best we can. You know what's happening is they're moving us into bigger theaters and things. Because they're building new, I don't know what happened. They opened some area in Seattle that hadn't been open for 40 years. And
right.
I don't... Oh, in Phoenix, we just moved into a bigger space, and I think that's almost sold out for February 25th, for God's sakes.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
You don't know the name of the space, do you? Because I know Phoenix pretty well.
Symphonies?
Phoenix Symphony Hall?
Yes.
Wow. Holy cow!
Yeah. You should have seen me at Shays. I was like, I can't believe I'm playing Shays. I used to answer the phone at Yuck Yucks.
Like, Symphony Hall is big.
Yeah. Yeah.
Congratulations.
We're like, we're like the blob. We're pouring out of theaters. They're getting too small. Yeah, it's I'm still big. It's the theaters that have gotten small.
Apparently.
Carol writes on Facebook, can't wait to go to Portland. Seattle was a blast. Everywhere Mama goes, she blows the roof off the joint. Aw, Carol, thank you. We're excited about the first show out of the chute.
Rose City, get ready, because this year's most popular comedy tour is coming to the Beaver State.
Nice beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is blazing a trail to Portland, Oregon.
Will Portland, Oregon is...
Stephanie Miller.
That ain't love, then tell me what is
Oregon.
From Beaver, Cherry,
Beaver, Cherry.
On January 7th, 2012, at the Newmark Theater, Stephanie Miller and her sexy liberal players will mercilessly mock Republicans to the max. Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com or by calling the Portland Center for Performing Arts box office at 503-432-2917.
Better than anything we have back in Portland, Oregon.
It's the perfect complement to an ice-cold Bridgeport brew.
Yes, get it.
Did you see this email from Roland?
No,
About the dinner that you had with your high school?
He
said the dinner was like Bridesmaids meets a menopause commercial meets Clockwork Orange.
Shut up, throat husband.
One of your fans!
Shut up.
Cut it off!
Oh, dear. Oh, here was an embarrassing moment. My school friend Mary, they all have kids and lives. They're a little out of it, you
right.
know.
And you
she
don't.
Was talking to, Cal Sparks came to dinner. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
My friends are so out of it. She's like, so how long have you been doing comedy? He's like, 25 years, whatever. She goes, have you ever thought about auditioning for film or television?
Oh,
Mary. Oh, for God's
sakes. Oh.
Hey, you should look into that.
Mm, yes. So he is. He's currently looking into it.
Yeah. Boy. Maybe you could get a show on Showtime that will run for 7 years.
Yes. Oh, dear. Goodness. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
All right. What was I saying? Yes, so then Phoenix, I believe, almost sold out in the new, bigger space already. We were going to make a big announcement about moving to a bigger venue, and now I don't even think there's...
That's impressive. I'm impressed.
Well, you should be impressed with me. It's about time. Gave me the respect I'm entitled to. Chicago, March 3rd. That's going fast, too. The big anniversary show in Madison, where it all began Saturday. That's April 14th. Minneapolis, May 5th, on and on. So check it out. Get your tickets fast. Okay.
Sweet.
All right. Danette in Georgia is as mad at Grover Norquist as we are. Hello, Danette.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I love you, and you are the sexiest liberal ever.
Oh, please. I've had a lot of work done. Anyway, go ahead. Hal and John are natural, and as is Aisha.
Well, I love Aisha Tyler. She's fabulous.
She's the best thing that's ever been invented in the history of things.
She is the hottest black lady I've ever known.
Yeah, she's the hottest lady, period. It's ridiculous.
Yes, yes. I am a little confused. I'm one of those dumb Democrats that the Republicans like to talk about. Who is Grover Norquist? Is that his name?
Right.
From...
And this is regarding, and we should care what he thinks because...
Yeah, I just don't understand how it is that people that are paid by the United States government, who, by the way, don't want to cut their jobs, but they want to cut my husband's Army job, to pass legislation, and because they signed some stupid Willy Wonka promise, they can't raise taxes on the wealthiest Americans, even though my husband goes to Iraq and does all this lovely stuff for us to have the quasi-fake freedoms we have. So
he's entitled to a head injury or a spleen injury at an Occupy protest.
Yeah.
Apparently that's what
parting gifts
we have.
My husband fell off of a truck in Iraq and broke his wrist. The bones, came out on both sides of his wrist. And he was in rehab and in rehabilitation for 3 years. Mm. So I am a little confused as to who this Grover Norquist guy was. Is he a senator that we don't know about?
No.
Yeah. Has he served his country like your husband? I'm guessing not.
No.
I don't think so. I'm a little pissed off at him right now, and I think that they should all be fired. And, I mean, we don't have a Congress anyway, so why do we need one? And they just all need to lose their jobs. And the other thing I wanted to say is that Newt Gingrich, that pasty doughboy guy, he needs to take a bath and get a job and stop writing books and pretending like he's going to win the presidential election. Maybe he ought to go work at McDonald's.
I'm an intellectual, frankly. I know because that's what I tell everybody.
He looks like he would smell, you know, like there's an extra amount of sweat in his fat folds, just that kind of musty smell. You know, musty old diaper smell.
Someone speculated that Grover Norquist may be blackmailing some of these politicians.
That they have some dirt on them?
Yeah.
Really? They all seem so perfect, all their candidates. John in Oakland on Grover Norquist. Hi, John.
Yes. Grover Norquist needs to be recalled and impeached in the same on the same day.
Yeah, except, if he were elected to anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll do it anyway. We'll find a way to do it.
And John, what is this pledge? What is this, some kind of eighth grade, like, you know, take a blood oath? Like, what do we sign a pledge?
Super
what the hell is that?
Secret pledge. Don't tell anyone our secret password.
Yeah, you're on double secret probation if you don't sign it, because, I mean, what is it? It's not a law. He's not elected to anything.
This just in, Grover Norquist just drowned in a bathtub.
Oh,
hey,
Jim, that's
you
not
see,
true.
Because no, that's no, his famous quote.
All right. Jason in Vancouver. Hey, Jason.
Hello.
Hi.
I love your show. I've been a fan for a long time.
Thank you.
But
it's just that I have to call outside my local. I have to call you guys long distance to get my liberal conversation. I'm in Canada.
Uh-oh.
I'm calling you guys to get my liberal conversation.
Well, God, you got to move to America. Canada's gotten too right-wing. You got to move to America now.
Doesn't liberal conversation just happen on the street in Canada? Isn't that like normal conversation there?
Well, after we have our coffee and read our funnies.
I had your poutine. All right, Jason. Well,
that's
we
only
welcome
in Quebec.
It.
Yeah.
All right. 18 minutes after the hour. Wow. You'll never guess who's running ahead in Iowa.
I'll tell you.
It's betterer and betterer on the Republican field. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-1-2.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2. The phone number. Dennis, my right-wing love muffin in South Carolina. Hello, Dennis.
Hey, guys. Hi. You were talking about Grover Norquist a while ago.
Yes.
Tell me the difference between him and Richard Trumka, the AFL-CIO that holds the Democrats hostages, that just last month came out and said, basically, you know.
Well, at least he was elected the head of a union. Right. So what's it?
Right.
Grover Norquist is who?
And not elected to anything.
Well, I mean, that really don't matter.
He's an advocate
to the right, and Richard Trumka, who, according to his words, visits the White House 2 to 3 times a week and stays in touch with someone every day. Mm-hmm. That's his own words.
So Republican presidents meet with their supporters all the time in the White House.
Yeah. What's the difference?
If George Bush had an oil representative come to the White House,
he did. Dick Cheney had meetings.
In closed door meetings, Dennis.
His energy meetings were all oil. Like, God's sakes, you're fired from the phones. That's the first person.
You're fired. Y'all have people who come talk to the president. It's exactly the same.
Sorry, you're going to have to do better than that. I'm not in the mood this morning.
Yeah, no one ever went to consult with Bush and Cheney.
I'm hungover on Lake Niagara wine. I have no time for you this morning.
Ice wine?
No, it's Lake Niagara. It still had, like, toenails in it. It's awful. But I loved it in high school. It's made from Concord grapes. Yay!
No, they do make ice wine.
No, it's not ice wine.
Oh.
It's awful wine, but it's from my ute.
Okay.
All right. This Republican debate, Jim, there's no crying in...
There's no crying in baseball!
Yeah, or in politics.
Like Stephanie was saying, Republicans only cry about themselves. Right?
Yes. Three of them cried.
Yeah.
Herman Cain, Rick Santorum, and Newt Gingrich.
Wow.
Talk
about crocodile tears.
Yeah. I mean, seriously. That's what I've noticed. They only cry. I mean, John Boehner, he only cries about himself.
Yeah. I had to work at a tavern. It's a dream. I can't.
Oh, there was a lot of touching. A lot of touching. They were all comforting and touching each other. And
what?
Yeah.
What
not so much the middle class of the American people, but each other.
What were they crying about?
It was Herman Cain cried about the time he
got cancer. Rick Santorum cried he had a disabled child that he decided that he wasn't going to love so that her death would be less. It was a weird story.
Yeah.
And then, Newt Gingrich talked about a friend's son who had a series of tumors removed. He obliquely touched on his history of infidelity, which also made him cry, apparently. He described how he's happier now because of his faith.
Yeah. Yeah, this was a faith and family values debate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then one thing that, what was it that Rick Perry said? That they were, it was, the, you know, they were having a god-off. They were trying to be who's Jesus-ier.
Yeah.
And Rick Perry said something I knew as the official atheist of the Stephanie Miller Show. Chris was going to hack you off.
Mm-hmm.
But he said something. I'm trying to find the exact quote, but it was something about that only there's a spot in every person's soul that only can only be filled by the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm. Mm. Okay. Mm, what if you're Jewish?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, that's what I'm saying. He would cry
or
if you're
Mormon,
a Jew.
According to Perry.
Well, right.
That probably that makes Rick Perry and baby Jesus cry. Jews and other assorted people that don't believe that the only thing that can fill your soul is Jesus Christ. Okay.
Why is my baby Jesus crying?
Exactly. And there's a lot of them in the Republican debate.
Yeah.
Boy, howdy. Baby Jesus reads PolitiFact every day after the Republican debate, and yikes. Okay, so I couldn't believe this. Just after we go, Newt Gingrich is the new front runner in the New York Times this weekend. Niche voters giving Ron Paul momentum in Iowa.
Wow.
He could win.
That would be interesting.
Oh, God. Niche. They're all kind of niche candidates, aren't they?
Yeah.
They all have their niche. They're very niche-y.
Nietzsche candidates.
Yes. Nietzsche. They're all Nietzsche candidates.
Yeah.
They're all John Paul Sartre candidates, in my view. The New York Times writing, in a year when the Republican field is unusually fractured. Yes, it is. It's a bit of a fractured fairy tale, isn't
it?
With frontrunners coming around as often as carousel ponies. Mr. You know what? I was in a deli in New York, and I saw what I was talking about, that pie thing that you guys were pretending not to understand. It's the thing you turn around to pick what pie you want, and that's what the Republican field is like. The one that doesn't look good at first, once you see all the others, it comes back around, you go,
okay,
maybe not all so right. bad.
Well,
maybe that one I'll take it this time.
I have to take your word for it.
Okay. Anyway, Mr. Paul's ability
but can
to...
can you get good egg cream? Nowhere. You can't get egg cream anymore.
Yes, you can. Okay. Mr. Paul's ability to mobilize
There's
niche...
no egg or cream.
No.
Egg, oh, no.
Cream.
Oh, yeah, it's Why? Weird. Okay. Mr. Paul's ability to mobilize niche groups like homeschoolers may make a big difference. That may put him over the top in Iowa. His campaign, which has won a number of straw polls and is picking up momentum, has demonstrated its ability to organize and mobilize supporters, which is particularly relevant in Iowa, where relatively small numbers can tip the scales in the caucuses. Homeschoolers really are independently minded, said one of them.
Some of them are also crazy.
Ron Paul believes the federal government has no role in education, as most homeschoolers will agree. So he may win Iowa based on the homeschooler vote. This is what has happened to the Republican Party. I'll tell you what. But wait, there's more.
Oh.
I'll tell you as we continue. 29 minutes after the hour, the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
There's a striking resemblance to Betty White, but then so many witches do.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. You know, you are right, chat room. Grover is the most annoying. Is it Sesame Street character?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, hello there. This is your old pal Grover. Yeah. Oh, I am so glad you are here. I am so glad you signed a pledge never to raise taxes ever or you will die.
Grover's just annoying, whatever form he comes in, puppet or human.
That's right.
Julie in Tacoma, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hello, daughter.
Hello.
Norquist was on 60 Minutes last night, and he flat out said that if any of them reneged on this thing, he would primary them.
Yeah.
And he's got the money to do it, all of his backers, whatever his group is.
Where does he get this money?
Well, whoever donates to him, they don't have to give their names. It doesn't have to be shown anywhere.
Even your dog knows this party is ridiculous.
Well, Chris should probably go to the transcript for 60 minutes to get a lot of information. And the look on his face like this,
Yeah, exactly. What's that, Lassie? Grover Norquist?
It's a smug little twit.
Yes, that's right, Lassie. Thank you, Julie. I'm sorry. What else, Lassie? Yes, he is. An arrogant douche nozzle. What? All right. By the by, I was talking about Ron Paul. This is just hilarious. I don't even know what to say about the Iowa. Homeschooling families are among the lesser-known converts to Mr. Paul, which could make him win the Iowa. Because they're probably having the Republican Party completely implode upon itself. His support is usually added up to less than 10% in surveys of likely Republican primary voters. But now, thanks to the best organized grassroots campaign in Iowa and heavy spending on TV advertisements that portray him as consistent while other Republicans have flip-flopped. Talking to you, Matt. Mr. Paul is breaking through that ceiling, giving rise to a once far-fetched scenario that he might win the state's caucuses on January 3rd. Oh, this is tremendous. The state two state polls this week show him in a statistical tie for first place, and then Monday by Bloomberg News showed Mr. Paul winning 19% of likely Republican caucus voters within the margin of error with Herman Cain, Mitt Romney, and Newt Gingrich. Clown car pileup! Just a bunch of big clown shoes sticking out everywhere, a big pile of wreckage.
Ron Paul had the big clown shoes to go with his big stoop.
Yeah. Exactly. He would have the biggest clown shoes of all. To go with his ginormous suit. Here it is, Jim. I was looking for the quote. Who said, in every person's heart, in every person's soul, there is a hole that could be that could only be filled by the Lord Jesus Christ? To which a man in the crowd yelled, amen. Who said that?
Menachem Begin.
That's really bad. That's the worst guess ever. That would be Rick Perry.
Okay.
Seems a little exclusive.
Begin the begin.
Doesn't seem very big tenty, does it?
We are not a Christian country, Mr. Perry.
What?
You're not a Christian. You have no standing to say that.
She's not a Christian!
You're dark-sided. I've always thought that about you.
Dark-sided.
Exactly. So, yeah, it was. It was the God.
I'm a God warrior!
Mm-hmm. It is a... Was the God warrior.
She is dark-sided, too!
Yes, a lot of crying over themselves.
Uh-huh.
Not over the fate of anyone else in America that's currently suffering, but themselves. The emotional responses prompted moderator Frank Luntz to say, I feel like Dr. Phil. Noted Doctor of Bullology.
Why was Frank...
They should have Dr. Phil moderate the next one.
Dr. Phil, now, my series of best-selling books and workbooks to go along with the...
All right. And Frank Luntz is awful as a moderator.
Yeah.
He is not a journalist in the least, and he has no camera presence.
He's a talking point writer by trade.
He is, and I don't know what he was doing moderating a debate.
Yeah.
He's just awful.
So what do you guys think about stuff?
That's basically what he was.
Probably should have just been, here's what I want you to think about stuff.
Yeah.
Here are the talking points that I've written that you're all supposed to be reading. Don't you agree I'm brilliant? Yeah. The two-hour event at the First Federated Church was run by Family Leader. That's an umbrella group of basically gay haters. Gay bashers.
Great.
Gay marriage opponents and anti-choice folks who have united to increase their clout in the 2012. Oh, it's two hatreds in one.
Mm-hmm.
It's it really struck me. That was the whole, who was it? Gingrich, let's see. He has previously blamed same-sex marriage for the country's economic woes. Santorum said that.
Mm-hmm.
Our country will fail as a result of same-sex marriage. That's mm-hmm. the biggest threat, really. Currently.
Right. It was kind of heartening not to see Mitt Romney there. He skipped the whole thing.
Hmm. Yes.
So,
he's not popular.
No,
among the evangelicals.
No, he is not.
He's dark-sided, too!
Yes, apparently, according to the Iowa caucus goers, he's dark-sided.
He is dark-sided, too!
Mm. Rick says, yikes! Jesus would like us to modulate.
Yes.
Rick Santorum reiterated his support for federal marriage amendment denying marriage to gays and lesbians during the Iowa family. What is it? Thanksgiving family forum?
Yeah. They're all sitting around.
Not you gays.
No.
Other families.
You sit at the gay table.
Yeah. Gays
the gay kids table.
Gays aren't allowed to have Thanksgiving.
Oh, by the way, can you see what I'm wearing this morning? You stream. It's we did the show Saturday night in Buffalo in honor of Jamie Rottemeyer.
Yeah.
He's the 15-year-old gay kid that killed himself after being bullied. And it's a rest in peace, Jamie. No hate. Stop Bullying Now. We gave money to the Gay and Lesbian Services of Western New York, which is doing truly the Lord's work, trying to prevent the next Jamie from happening. So anyway, but it just struck me as I was doing that and then hearing about this at the same time, this whole forum of gay bashing. Yeah, you wonder why kids think, you know, they can't grow up and have a happy life or marriage or serve their country or whatever, because they watch these asshats.
These kids think they have something wrong with them because of these people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is on the TV all every, what do they have, a debate every 2 days? And just a long line of gay bashing. Anyway, he promised to campaign against marriage equality in all 50 states and warned the family is the bedrock of our society. Unless we protect it with the institutions of marriage, our country will fail. It's going to bring down the entire... I particularly enjoy Newt Gingrich talking about family values and who's allowed to have values and not.
Yeah.
And not letting gays play in his reindeer games, because he's, you know, okay.
From now on, gang, we won't let Rudolph join in any reindeer games.
He said a country that has been now, since 1963, relentlessly in the courts driving God out of public life shouldn't be surprised at the problems we have. That's why we don't have morality, not because of amoral right-wing douche hats like him. Because we've, in fact, attempted... Ooh, look what I did there. I magically melded an ass hat with a douche nozzle.
Yeah, I was like, where did that come from?
A douche hat. That's new. I bet he would look cute in that hat.
Yeah. When you speak for 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, you're bound to come up with new words at some point.
New words by accident.
Yeah.
He said, because we've, in fact, attempted to create a secular country, which I think, frankly... He always gets one frankly a sentence.
Frankly
is a nightmare, is what he said.
Frankly.
Yeah. A nightmare.
Yeah, I believe we have that, frankly. We have the Newt Gingrich at the...
A country which has been now, since 1963, relentlessly in the courts driving God out of public life, shouldn't be surprised at all the problems we have, because we've, in fact, attempted to create a secular country, which I think is frankly a nightmare.
See what happened in 1963-64? Oh, black people got the rape.
Oops.
Oh, dear.
Oopsie. Huh. And then he went on to talk about...
being hit with fire hoses. And
Newt Gingrich.
All of the Occupy movement starts with the premise that we all owe them everything.
Oh, please.
Oh, shut
They take
up.
Over a public park they didn't pay for.
What?
To go nearby to use bathrooms they didn't pay
Wait
for.
Wait a minute.
To beg for food.
They didn't pay for it?
It's a public park.
To obstruct those who are going to work to pay the taxes to sustain the bathrooms and to sustain the park.
Up.
So they can self-righteously explain that they are the paragons of virtue to which we owe everything.
Please.
Now, that is a pretty good symptom of how much the left has collapsed as a moral system in this country. And why you need to reassert something as simple as saying to them, go get a job right after you take a bath.
Oh, so I see. It's the left that has collapsed as a moral system, and not you, you amoral douchebag that's left how many women when they got sick? Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry for that outburst.
How dare they assemble in a public park?
Yeah, that they didn't pay for. They're taxpayers. That's the point. They did pay for it. Public bathrooms they didn't pay for. Yes, we all pay for the public
spaces. The fact that there are no jobs is no excuse for not having a job, frankly.
Dear God in heaven. All right.
And you know what? Even if they're out of work, they pay sales taxes.
Yeah.
Sales taxes go towards these things as well.
Thank you. Would you like some more Newt Gingrich fun facts?
Sure.
Well, much has been made about the notorious story about his divorce to his first wife, Jackie Battley, where he had her sign the divorce papers while in the hospital undergoing surgery for cancer. Less publicized has been how they first met, like how Battley was Gingrich's high school geometry teacher.
What?
Excuse
me?
Yes, what? Huh. Ball sexism?
Frankly, yeah.
What?
We're the paragons of virtue, so we can judge other people, frankly.
Yeah. Battley, who is 7 years older than Gingrich, had been Gingrich's high school math teacher in Columbus, Georgia.
My God.
And Rick Perry is married to his piano teacher.
It's a little Letourneau-esque stuff going on there.
Yeah.
They began dating after they graduated, were married in 1962 when Gingrich was 19 and a freshman at Emory University. As a high school student, precocious, lonely, overweight.
Some
Husky boys don't turn out as well as you and Jim.
I feel his pain. I really do.
Newt secretly romanced his geometry teacher, a buxom matronly woman named Jackie Battley. The furtive romance with his 24-year-old teacher included nighttime sessions in the back of a car in remote areas of Fort Benning, Georgia.
I just think I'm going to laugh.
Why does that have a deliverance feel to it? Remote areas of Fort Benning, Georgia, with Newt Gingrich. I can't think of more romantic magic than that.
Yeah, and his busty teacher.
You're sitting on my head, frankly. Move to the left a little bit.
You're on my foot, wrinkly.
Oh.
Ow. Ow. That's my hair. Once Newt and Jackie were so worked up, I don't know, you know, can I really over breakfast read this?
No.
They got their car caught in a tank trap on the military base and had to call his best friend to rescue them before a daylight expose.
What's a tank trap?
I don't know. No.
And how do you get caught in one?
Why were they driving around a military fort?
Because they were going at it in the car. Maybe it was rocking, and it got caught. Hate when that happens. You get caught in a tank trap.
Probably the least romantic place on Earth is a military base.
There could be like unexploded.
Not if you're a Republican. It makes it risky and exciting.
Yeah.
We might step on a landmine.
I like the element of danger, frankly.
That was dangerous.
That's almost like serving your country, which I've never done, frankly.
It's better than being tied to the...
They all have orgasms. That's, you know, the whole point of being Republican, isn't it? That's where you go to get turned on.
God.
Orgasm.
Yeah, shooting range, military bases, places like that.
Violence.
Yeah, awesome.
Right there.
Mm. Oh. Mm.
I'm guessing a woman has never sounded like that that's been with Newt Gingrich. It's more like, ow, what are you doing? What are you doing?
What is that?
Stop it.
You think I like that?
Your boob just hit me in the eye. Ow. Okay. 46.
Frankly. Stop saying frankly. Oh, God, get off me. Frankly.
Get off me. 46. Are you done? 46.
Oh, God.
I bet the thing he's hurt most. Are you in yet? All right. 46 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Dressed in yellow, she says hello. Come sit next to me, you fine fellow. You run over there without a second to lose. And what comes next? Hey, bust the move. Just bust the move.
Oh, yeah. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. All right, we apologize. I went out in the hall and producer said, 747, and simulated Newt Gingrich sex on the show already.
Yeah.
We apologize. Stephanie Miller Show wishes to apologize. We made Connie in Albuquerque choke on her Egg McMuffin. Hello, Connie.
Oh, Stephanie, you are so wonderful, but I'll tell you, I did nearly choke on an Egg McMuffin at that last segment.
We apologize.
Let's face it, just the thought of having sex with Newt Gingrich.
Yes.
Cause you to choke.
Yeah.
But when you mention, I couldn't stand it anymore.
Yeah.
But I gotta tell you, Steph, I'm scared out here in New Mexico because can you imagine if progressives and Democrats don't get together, one of those guys could be our president?
Oh, I know.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
It's scary.
Yeah, I mean, you have to read Rude Pundit today, who we talked about. I mean, just really review who Newt Gingrich is. I mean, seriously? And by the way, Connie, you know what he just proposed? Private retirement accounts. Well, there's a new idea that George Bush proposed, which was roundly shot down, which would have been a disaster had he done it. More old people would be eating eye sockets.
Let's tie your retirement to the stock market.
Yes.
What could possibly go wrong?
Wouldn't that be Jim Dandy? Oh, yes. Man. We were saying, ironically, that's probably exactly where Republicans would go, would be a military base to get turned on, to have orgasm.
Yeah. Wargasm.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
Oh, we're in a tank trap. Oh. What? How did that happen?
Oh, God.
Frankly.
Stop saying frankly. Oh, God, you're so irritating. All right. This Republican field. Yay. That's all I can say. Yay. Yay for the chutzpah of all of them. Oh. The chutzpah to run for president. Seriously.
Yay.
Chutzpah.
The headline is, Herman Cain flubs Libya again, claims the Taliban has taken control.
The Taliban has taken over the South American country of Libya. What? Oh, that's the other
one. Yeah, we have that.
Taliban is the president of Uzbekistan now. Oh, please, Dopey, please.
The Libya question was, the question was too broad.
Oh,
agree with siding with the opposition.
Oh, I see. It's the question.
Do I agree with saying that Gaddafi should go? Do I agree that they now have a country where you've got Taliban and Al-Qaeda that's going to be part of the government?
No.
No. Does he know how far away Libya is from Iraq and Afghanistan?
Do I agree with the disagreement of the thing that I agreed with before I disagreed with it?
Has the charm worn off yet, Republicans, of the ha-ha, God. Isn't it cute how he doesn't know anything about anything? Isn't that cute?
God, he's stupid.
Wow. Taliban and Al-Qaeda are in... Just to review for everybody, Taliban exists in Afghanistan and Pakistan, not...
Right.
They're not in Libya. Not in Libya. Oh,
Al-Qaeda
boy.
Al-Qaeda was...
Yeah, he said, I was... Do I agree with not knowing the government was going to which part he was asking me about?
What?
I was trying to get him to be specific, and he wouldn't be specific.
It was too broad.
Yes.
The question is too broad.
Okay, broads are to be groped. Broads are not...
We listened to all...
questioning.
All 64 seconds of that.
Yeah.
Not once did he ask the questioner to be more specific.
No. He just didn't know what was happening. He wasn't even certain what happened in Libya. You could tell he was asking for help on the actual
yes.
question.
Can I call a lifeline?
Is that Regis show still on?
You're out of control.
My listeners know everything. Tony in Chicago knows what a tank trap is. Hello, Tony.
Hello.
Hello.
A tank trap is that big crisscross I-beam steel with the barbed wire.
Oh,
on it.
Right. Okay.
Wait,
like you
wait.
See in old World War II.
Right.
Yeah,
no, that's a boy movie. What? It's a what? It's a barbed wire thing?
No, they're like I-beams that yes. are crisscrossed that go across.
They had them on Normandy Beach.
Yeah.
D-Day.
I guess the point is you wouldn't be able to get caught in one unless you were moving. Why are
right.
you moving if you're doing other things?
Well,
I mean, I've been stopped and paying attention to what's going on.
Listen,
right.
at that weight, he definitely would have the car moving. It even if you had it didn't, you know, park. If you had the parking brake on, you could probably still... Get caught in a tank trap.
Yeah, the car's rocking. Don't bother knocking, frankly.
Oh, boy. That was for a moment that Tom Hanks movie where you guys know things about war movies, and I was like,
well, yeah. Have you ever seen
what?
Saving Private Ryan?
Yes. Okay, all right. A tank trap. I got
tank
it.
Traps in that.
You know who would have known that?
Who?
My ex, who was a tank instructor in the Israeli Army.
She oh,
would
yeah.
Have, she would have...
Yeah, that's true.
I could have pulled. That could have been my lifeline.
Yeah.
Hobbit in Asheville, North Carolina. Hello, Hobbit.
Hello, Stephanie. This is the official Whitewater Raft Guide of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, hello.
And I think maybe that Newt's getting a bad rap on having left his wife when she was sick. Because, frankly, if you're sick, the last thing you want is somebody who's that toxic in your life.
That's
there
true.
You go. That's so, true. She didn't need any more toxins. All right. Thank you.
Doing her a favor.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That was a little joke, sort of. Okay. Let's. Oops. I went to hit the wrong line.
Uh-oh.
Larry in Minneapolis. Hi, Lair.
Hi, Steph. How
Hi.
Are you?
Good, honey.
Yeah, I used to be a helicopter pilot in the Army, and we'd fly around the base with our night vision goggles and view people doing things in their cars.
Oh, wow. You
yeah.
little rascal. You
cool.
scampy little
we
perv.
Actually, when I was in Oklahoma, we actually had the base commander would make us write down license plates of the cars we saw so we could give it to them.
Oh, for God's sakes. What, is
yeah.
it, what does sex look like through night vision goggles?
Very green.
Very green.
Not easy.
Okay. Thank you. Green people having sex.
And Newt Gingrich is a Muppet, so it's there you go.
Hey, I didn't even think
not
of that.
Being green.
He looks like...
Oh, is he in that new
like
Muppets
her?
Movie that's coming out this
he
weekend?
Be.
He sounds
yeah.
like Kermit.
Yeah.
Kermit green.
Oh, refreshing.
Having sex. All right.
By the way, Kermit the Frog was the funniest part of Saturday Night Live this past Saturday.
Oh, I missed that.
I missed it.
It was
I
very funny.
Missed it.
Yeah.
Was out drinking with my high school friends.
There you go.
Oh, by the way, lots of high school boys still came to the big show Saturday night. And I proved my point that men don't buy it. Burnsy still thinks he's going to marry me. And I told him maybe.
Burnsy?
Maybe. Burnsy.
Yeah. Jack Burns?
Yeah. That was his nickname. I don't know his name. I may move home and marry Burnsy.
Yeah.
All right.
You better let Lisa know.
The Quirk brothers were there? I don't know.
Were the Pontillos there?
No, I did not see...
Was John from Amherst there?
I did not see John from Amherst.
We were hanging out with a bunch of black guys.
What a puss. He probably wasn't man enough to show up. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm
Tonight is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. The band's all back together all 3 hours. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Or as we call ourselves, the Stephsons. The show is just turning into gibberish, really.
Boy, toy,
I think if he was my irritating little brother or something.
Really.
There must be some pictures of a sexy liberal, my girlfriend Lisa.
Human animal hybrids are people. Not enough. Yes, they are.
I know that. You think I don't know that?
I'm struggling to find enough words with the one or L.
Stop this crazy thing!
We can't. We can't get off this crazy thing. This crazy show. All right. Lots of folks, thank you for all the Facebook and emails for the big hometown show in Buffalo. Janet, the official speech pathologist of the Stephanie Miller Show.
You need a speech pathologist.
Wow. I didn't even pronounce that correctly.
No.
A speech pathologist. Dear Mama, we were just blown away by the show in Buffalo, just like Syracuse. Oh, a step head.
Oh,
see,
boy.
A lot of people, a lot of repeaters, repeat offenders going to sexy liberal all over the country, working on Stephhead merchandise for the holidays, by the way. Just like Syracuse, we enjoyed talking to people around us. People are just coming for each other now, not for us. I don't know what's happening. Especially the couple who drove up from freaking West Virginia. People came from Ohio, from all over the place for the Buffalo show. It was crazy. Pittsburgh, some folks from Pittsburgh were there, from Philly. So glad we sprung for the meet and gropes. Your performance was wonderful and funny, but I was completely distracted by your shoes and how fast you can get off the floor. Yes, I did. I have awesome shoes on, and I'm pretty springy for a 50-year-old. I spent a lot of time, you know, humping the floor and stuff like that, and then I got to spring back up again quickly.
Thanks, Boniva.
Why am I not promoting that?
Yeah, exactly.
What did Roland's tour director say the dinner with my high school friends was like?
It was like Bridesmaids meets a menopause commercial meets a Clockwork Orange.
Shut up, Roland. I have to say, after the show, it was a lot of bitching about menopause. Roland, you actually were right. You weren't even there for that.
No. Oh, God.
And we were all bitching. Yeah. Michael says, hi, Mama and the Mooks. Just thought you should know HBO screened The Rose in your honor on Saturday morning. But I did not have my Rose moment in Buffalo. Thank you very much. Every time I watched someone pass Bette Midler a bottle on stage, I was determined to make sure we grant you that same honor when you come back to Chicago in March. Thank you. Maybe. Oh, boy. See, here's the good news. We're cutting back. Mama's, it's only going to be their events. They're getting into bigger and bigger theaters. They're only going to be about once a month because it has been killing Mama. So the big year-end show is going to be, Fort Lauderdale. There might be a teensy tiny. The box office has released a couple more tickets because that's been sold out December 10th in Florida. And then Portland, Oregon is the first show in 2012. In January, we've got Phoenix has gone into like the Blob bled into a bigger theater.
Yes.
But I think tickets are almost gone for that as well. So you should hurry. Go to sexyliberal.com.
Phoenix has risen to a bigger theater, if you will.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Sexy Liberal on Facebook. All right. Chicago is March 3rd. Madison, April 14th. And then in May,
the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show made Minnesota one of their first stops on their wildly popular world tour in 2011.
Minnesota.
Stephanie and her sexy liberal players are coming back to the Twin Cities since the first time was so Minnesota nice.
They call me Minnesota nice.
On May 12, 2012, the State Theater will host the triumphant return of the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour featuring John Fugelsang.
You are a smooth, smooth, you are.
Hal Sparks.
Little guy, kind of funny looking.
And Mama herself, Stephanie Miller.
You darn tootin'.
Come on and thrill me, Mama.
Get your tickets online at Ticketmaster.com or by calling Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000. Minneapolis, Minnesota, join the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour at the State Theater on May 12th and go for another brilliant helping of sexy liberal sexiness.
Stephanie Miller.
There's a lot of chin spots.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, look, it's another guy that I went to high school with. Tim writes, Steph, awesome show in Buffalo. We had a lot of fun, love it, laughs, and love your politics. Sorry to have missed you after the show. I spoke with Mary, that was my high school friend. We all had, and she said how much you all enjoyed seeing each other again. There was a lot of crying. I cried when I said goodbye to my high school friends. I did.
So was all of DeSales Catholic High School
and Bernsie,
there?
Yeah, well, Bernsie, just like high school, was still trying to tap that. Still think he's like, yeah, let me know how things work out.
Is Bernsie married?
I don't think so.
Huh, maybe there's a reason.
I still got a shot at that.
Yeah.
If things don't work out, you know, I always come back.
All right.
Never know.
All right. All right.
All right.
Oh, boy. Let's go to Dave in Detroit. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Good morning. I was just listening before the break, and somebody mentioned this bunch of Republicans that have signed these
pledges.
I'm just kind of curious, since they take a pledge to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution before they take office, now that they've signed this pledge with Grover Norquist, which pledge takes precedent when push comes to shove? Mm-hmm. Who are they going to back up? The Constitution or Grover and his
Right. Wait, who, exactly. Who are you signing? And what is a pledge? Like we're saying, that's some kind of like something you do in the fort when you're like in fifth grade.
What do
you mean a pledge?
What are the consequences of not
following the pledge?
You lick your hands and mash it together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Wow.
I'm just talk amongst yourselves.
What?
I'm writing audibles for you because I got a brilliant email from a listener.
Oh, okay.
Okay, here we go.
Let's hope I get this right.
Jack writes, Steph, last week you mentioned that the Republican primary candidates are like the toys from the Island of Misfit Toys. It's true. They are.
We're a couple of misfits. We're a couple of misfits.
Yes.
What's the matter with misfits? That's where we get in.
Mm.
Nobody liked the Grover in the tub.
Exactly.
Child wants to play with a Charlie in the box.
Yeah, they were the toys that no children wanted to play with, much like the current crop of Republican candidates. Oh, look, this is listener comedy that no one wanted to vote for. With that in mind, I've taken it upon myself to match them up to their representative toys. Charlie in the box is Mitt Romney, because no one wants to play with the Mitt in the box.
Nobody wants a Charlie in the box. Yes, they do. No, they don't. Yes, they do. No, they don't.
No, Jack, these are good. Spotted Elephant is Newt Gingrich.
Okay.
Yeah, the Washington, consummate Washington insider Republican with a spotty record.
Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. And same body type. Uh-huh. Dolly for Sue is Michelle Bachmann. The doll seems normal in the show, but is eventually revealed by the producer that the doll's problems were psychological.
Oh, dear.
She says, yes, it's true. She really did say that. Look it up. We don't know what lack of gait are. What sort of psychological problems? Constantly imagining the end times?
Here's the quarter of the thing. Go buy yourself a clue.
Let's see.
I wonder how many times Marcus has called Michelle Miss Thing.
I stole that from Kristen Wiig.
How many times before she got ready for a Republican debate did he go, really? Seriously? That? Those shoes? No.
Not in those shoes.
What?
Missy.
Oh, no, Miss Thing. I told you military buttons make you look hippie. Take it off. Okay, Birdfish.
Epaulettes, really?
Birdfish is Herman Cain. That's
Birdfish?
The Birdfish. Oh. It's the thing that doesn't, it's crazy. It doesn't know what it is.
All right.
Because the 999 plan, a ridiculous concept on his face, much like the Birdfish.
Because he draws the birds, you know.
A failed toy. Mm-hmm. The squirt gun Cowboy Who Rides an Ostrich is Rick Perry. Really? Cowboy swagger, no real substance.
Were all these things in Rudolph the Red-Nosed
Reindeer?
Yes! Really?
I'm a savant.
That's the weird-looking horse.
Squirt gun that shoots grape jelly is Ron Paul. That's the stuff that comes out of him keeps repelling mainstream Republicans. The train with square wheels is Rick Santorum. Not non-functional as a toy, inherently unelectable as a candidate. Google him, see why. Airplane that cannot fly is John Huntsman. Will never get off the ground due to his association with Obama. Toy boat that sinks, Tim Pawlenty, sunk, just like the Canada Sea. That's good. You did match up the right toys to the right. That was a festive holiday email.
Yeah.
So dead on. All right.
Yes.
Herman Cain at the big whatever.
The way you fight back is not be afraid to express your faith in any setting, rather than worrying about the political correctness police.
Yes. Yes. I must tell Jesus how many lying bitches there are in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. Uh-huh. Yes. I must tell Jesus
about all of my bitches. Mm-hmm. All of my trials.
Maybe Jesus could get him some sort of map of the world. Like other U.S. Americans have, so they can see that there is no Taliban in Libya.
Don't have access to maps.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Such as.
Mm. Okay, Rick Perry and Michelle Bachmann on Who's Jesus Here?
I truly gave my life to Christ.
I actually gave my life over to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
No, I gave more of my life to the Lord than you did. No, I gave my whole life over to Jesus.
Lord, the day is at hand.
You're not in it till the
we
end times,
in
mister.
The last day.
I'm in for the rapture,
are
you?
Jehovah God.
Oh, boy.
Okay. And by the way, FYI, Jehovah God, why won't you make my husband like, see? Please. It's all I ask for every Christmas. Okay, Rick says,
oh,
Google it. Hmm? What?
If you're low income, you get lots of you can qualify for many states, you can qualify for Medicaid, you can qualify for food stamps, you can qualify for housing assistance, and that's not if you're in poverty, that's if you're above the poverty line. And so you have all of the children growing up in an environment where government is paying you. Mm-hmm. And then we wonder, why do these kids feel they're entitled to suffering? Mm-hmm. You know, suffering, if you're a Christian, suffering is part of life. And it's not a bad thing. It is an essential thing in life.
Wow. It's
so
essential.
So you should just die.
Yes.
Yeah. It's God's will that you die a horrible death.
It's not just necessary. It's essential that you suffer.
No. Screw helping your neighbor.
Yes.
You got to suffer.
Sure. Builds character. Run it off.
Was he in a mine shaft at the time?
Yeah, where was he giving that statement?
Oh, yeah. It was in a...
All right.
Town is it men's room?
All right. More crunchy. What?
What? I don't know what I was doing at that.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody clean up the Santorum.
Well, Santorum was there.
All right. 18 minutes.
Ew.
What? He was!
18 minutes after the hour. Right back with more crunchy audio GOP goodness on the
or
Stephanie
squishy.
Miller Show.
They degrade women and beavers.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
You've seen the difference, and it's getting better all the time. I'll stop the world and melt.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Jack, who wrote the brilliant piece about which Republican candidates are which misfit toy from the island of misfit toys. Personally, because you wonder what will... I think Herman Cain will be a dentist. I think he'll
I'd
be...
I'd like to be a dentist.
Hermie, you know, Jim.
Herman.
Exactly. Oh, you know, one of those pervy dentists, Jim, that, you know, sexually grope women when they're under anesthesia.
Yeah, you want the gas. You do not want. I tell you, it's going to be much better for you.
Mm-hmm. Getting for minor things. Yeah, you need the gas.
What happened? Why is my bra off? And why do my teeth still hurt?
Because not many people know that a bra causes you to swell up
it's
under anesthesia and your teeth
too constricted
can't be properly accessed.
I have to go through your boobuses to get to your teeth.
Thank you. See? We're helpers. We're trying to think of options for them after their campaigns implode.
Hermie Cain.
Hermie the dentist.
Yeah, Hermie Cain.
Herb, as Sarah Palin calls him. Yeah. Anyway, Jack says, you know, because he knows a lot more even, what do you call it, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer fun facts than I do. When the original version of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer aired in 1964, the fate of the misfit toys was left unclear. This causes... such
what other misfit toys were there in 1964?
Shut off about my mother in Goldwater. Misfit political toys. Oh, dear. This causes such an uproar that General Electric had additional footage filmed that of the toys being picked up by Santa and parachuted to the homes of children who would love them. So don't worry about the fates of the candidates that no one loved, because that jolly fat guy Roger Ailes will find a place on the Fox News lineup for all of the misfit candidates, which is probably true.
Wasn't no Rudolph Shiny New Year.
Ugh, you have worst taste in Christmas specials.
It was no Santa Claus versus the Martians, I can tell you.
Yeah, with Pia Zadora.
That's right.
You like Frosty.
Who doesn't like Frosty?
No, it's not top tier.
You have a
the
snowball
Grinch is number
for
one.
The Grinch fed peanuts.
The Grinch is number one. Let's see. Rudolph is number two.
Frosty's number one.
Charlie Brown Christmas.
And Charlie Brown Christmas number three.
Christmas was up there.
Frosty. Jennifer, and we have this fight every year.
I know.
Jennifer and Madison. Hi, Jen.
Hi.
Hi. Go ahead.
I was just calling to tell you I just stopped and signed the Recall Walker petition.
Woo!
Yay!
Get Yeah, with your bad self. Way to go, Jen.
And I wanted to thank you for using the term douche nozzle. It makes way more sense than douchebag.
Thank you. Thank you. The douche doesn't fall far from the nozzle on the Republican field these days.
Of course, my favorite Christmas show is Shmuel the Hanukkah Golem.
Really? Yeah, that's a lesser known one. Thank you, Jim. That's a little obscure. All right.
Well, I like one that nobody remembers. All of the Other Reindeer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
No?
Yikes.
You're sad, little boy.
Okay. Sorry.
Speaking of which, Rick Santorum.
We have to fight the battles in the states. We cannot defer. We can't say the 10th Amendment. They can do what they want. This is too important for that. There's a basic and central value. The family is the bedrock of our society. Unless we protect it with the institution of marriage, our country will fall.
Sounded like Mars Attacks for a second.
Right. We have to attack now, sir.
We have to attack gays now, sir. Now. We have to strike now.
We have to strike now,
sounds
sir.
Just like him.
Annihilate. Mm-hmm. Kill. So, kill. Kill.
So he was saying, screw the Constitution.
Yes.
We need to take care of this federally.
We need to deprive the gays of rights immediately.
I thought Republicans were strict constitutionalists.
Hyperbole much? Our country will fall.
Yeah.
Really?
If the gays, you know, love each other enough to get married.
Sure, yes. Yeah, that'd be bad.
He wants to bring back the pink triangles, apparently.
Okay.
Okay, wow, Jim, a lot of the German references today. He even sang in German earlier for the Pepper Stray story. Frank Luntz and Ron Paul.
Are you prouder that you are a duly elected member of Congress, or are you prouder of your medical profession?
Doctors are still rated a lot higher in the polling than the politicians.
Okay, that's funny. I'll give them that.
I'd hide the other job, too, if it were him. All right, Ron Paul and Rick Perry.
We don't need the Department of Education. We need those things taken care of up at the state level.
Stupidity!
And the energy department, too.
There you go.
We need more kids stupid enough to think that the Taliban is running Libya.
You're stupid enough to think we don't need the Department of Energy.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Only a governor of Texas would think that we don't need a Department of Energy.
With all these highfalutin telegraphs?
They say Newt Gingrich is pulling ahead, Jim, because of his intellect, because of his big ideas. Big ideas like this.
It is tragic what we do in the poorest neighborhoods in trapping children, in child laws, which are truly stupid. Most of these schools ought to get rid of the unionized janitors, have one master janitor, and pay local students to take care of the school.
Huh?
The kids would actually do work. They would have cash. They'd have pride in the schools. They begin the process of rising.
And when exactly would they learn, which is what you're supposed to do in school?
Screw homework. Screw math class.
We start working in factories.
Get a mop.
You know, with dangerous equipment, lose limbs. I think that'd be great.
Strap a plow to them.
At least
they come out of the womb.
At least when the president says grab a mop or a broom and help, he means it theoretically.
Right.
He just
figuratively.
Not actually.
Frankly, it's those janitors making all the
school.
Big bucks. That's where all the money's going, frankly.
Study. All right. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
But listen, she is a sweet, caring, slightly too graphic woman who deserves better.
Wow, 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 wow. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free, yes.
The Dow is down about 302 points.
Because of the right-wing asshats on the super committee.
Lack of a debt deal. Thanks.
They're not super. Thanks for asking.
No, they're not.
They're kind of sucky.
Yeah,
thanks
listen to this. Failure by Congress's debt-cutting super committee to recommend $1.2 trillion in savings by Wednesday is supposed to automatically trigger spending cuts in the same amount.
Yep.
But the same legislators who concocted that budgetary booby trap just 4 months ago could also end up spending the election year beyond battling over defusing it because it's going to be defense cuts.
Hey,
so now,
No. We didn't agree to this.
Yeah.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. I mean, it really is incredible. In the face of those efforts, President Obama has told the debt panel's co-chair he will not accept any measure that attempts to turn off the automatic cut trigger. That's the thing. They just are not bound by any rules.
Right.
That they make up their own rules. And I did this story earlier. We should post that. It was in the New York Times over the weekend. But just a perfect historical perspective. This Republican Party is just ridiculous.
Yep.
Held hostage by Grover Norquist. It talks about the tax rate under Reagan was 50%. It's 35% now. And they still won't. And Reagan raised taxes 11 times because of the deficit in the name of fiscal responsibility. And these guys are just, it's just, it makes no sense.
Nope.
And the 70, what was the new poll I read? 75% of Americans think we have got to include tax increases, particularly on the rich, to balance the budget. And they just, I mean, so you tell me who's, the problem is the White House is going to be able to take advantage of this politically, but it's not like they want to. They would rather fix this than...
As most normal people would.
Yes, the super committee sputters is the headline. Congressional subcommittee appears to be sputtering to a close with no deal in sight after more than 2 months of high-stakes negotiation. The White House is attacking the GOP for demanding low tax rates for all income groups, including the most affluent Americans. Democrats, of course, insist on far more in new tax revenue than Republicans are willing to accept. The GOP relying, and I did the numbers earlier, the percentage of even of every dollar that they're asking, it's ridiculous in spending cuts and no revenue, new revenue at all.
Wish we were in a parliamentary democracy. We could have a vote of no confidence.
Yeah.
Just get rid of all the Republicans.
Who would run their household like this? You know, it's like... The exchange of proposals in weekend work show that Boehner and Reid have been trying to salvage something, anything, out of these 10 weeks of closed-door supercommittee talks. But, you know, any agreement will require a vote in the supercommittee by Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving, to avert failure. But here we go. It's the same play again. And now they're not, like I say, now they're going to try to renege on the stuff that they put in there,
right.
The triggers they put in.
Put this in here? That's crazy. We won't stand for it.
What, we did that? Oh, crap.
Mittens, who is nobody.
I think he believes that as bureaucrats, well-meaning, well-intending bureaucrats in Washington, who can do a better job guiding our economy and guiding our lives than can free people. And he's wrong. The approach I think he is drawn to is the approach of Europe, which has a very heavy hand on free enterprise and on the freedom of individuals. And that approach isn't working in Europe. It sure as heck is not going to work in the United States.
I'm sorry, Jim, yes?
It was working perfectly fine. It's read the shock doctrine. You know, that's what it's all about. Just read the book.
It is a good time to reread Naomi Klein's brilliant masterpiece.
She predicted all this, you know.
Yeah, I know. Speaking of fine Americans, great piece in the New York Times on by James Stewart on the Occupy movement.
So, Jimmy Stewart? Why? No. I had no idea he was still around.
He's not.
No.
Oh.
You're thinking of Mr.
Situation.
You're thinking of Mr.
Potter. I was dead.
You're thinking of Mr. Potter, the guy that owns the show, that's trying to work me into the ground because I'm suddenly worse, more alive.
You were more dead than alive.
Anyway, he writes, critics and supporters alike suggest the influence of the movement could last decades. It might even evolve into a more potent force. I think it already is.
Yeah.
I think it already in the last Tuesday elections, a couple weeks ago. When they unleash the power of standing up for the powerless against the powerful, David versus Goliath, the repercussions can ripple through society for decades. These are people with documented history of social movements in this country for a long time. Sidney Tarrow, visiting professor at Cornell Law School, an expert in social movements, author of Power and Movement. He says, I'm especially pleased there's someone outside the Democratic Party establishment who's saying these things. Someone had to seriously open a debate about the yawning gap of inequality in this country. My advice to them is move on. The encampments were running out of steam. They've achieved the best they can hope to achieve, which is to draw the country's attention to extraordinary inequality. In my view, they should pack up their tents and march on Washington. I don't even want to go so far as to say that. I think that's the good thing is that I'm not in charge of it.
Nope.
No one's in charge of it. I think that, but you know, Jesse Ventura and I had this slap fight last week. What did he say to me? He's like, don't try to take ownership of Occupy. And I'm like, all I'm saying is some candidates like Elizabeth Warren, like Alan Grayson, our friend.
Yep.
Have been saying these things for a long time. Go to the voting booths. Vote them in. You know, I mean, I'm just saying, I don't believe this whole, we need another party. It's like, that's not going to happen.
No.
Get behind the true progressives that will make this stuff happen, is all I'm saying.
You do not want to get in a slap fight with Jesse.
No.
He'll body slam you.
Navy SEAL, yeah. Although, my brother taught me a couple of moves. I can do a half Nelson. And also, I forget the other thing, but I can show you later.
I think he has you beat in the number of moves that he knows.
No, I know a couple he doesn't know.
Sure. All right.
Okay.
There are a couple of Republican dirty trick moves.
You keep believing that. They're there.
Sure. Well, I could take Benny the Jet
Cornell West, Princeton professor, said we've got to regroup and bounce back of this week's evictions. He said there's already been a victory. Everybody's talking about corporate greed and income inequality, and that wouldn't have been imaginable even a year ago. The shift towards truth and justice is what the movement is all about. He said he didn't know where the movement was headed, but he said you can't evict an idea whose time has come. Mm-hmm. That's been my quote for today. So, yeah, exactly. Who knows what form it'll take and if mm-hmm. it'll get, you know, some more people that are actually fighting for those things in office or not. But you know, here's what this is about, too. This was on Think Progress today. Billionaires use tax loophole to lower their tax rates to 1%.
Great.
So if you think that's fair, then okay. In 2009, 1,470 households reported income more than $1 million but paid no federal income tax at all. Through their use of various tax loopholes and shelters, tax rates for millionaires have fallen by 25% since the mid-90s. While one quarter of millionaires currently pay lower tax rates than the average middle-class household, numbers like these are the driving force behind the Buffett rule.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the proposal aimed at ensuring millionaires can't pay lower tax rates than their middle-class families. To add to the pile of evidence, such a rule is necessary. Bloomberg News ran a segment on billionaires who manipulate the tax code to lower their tax rate all the way down to 1%.
Wow.
Warren Buffett, he obviously talked about this, saying he pays a lower tax rate than his secretary. His being 17%, sometimes, but the real figure for billionaires, Think Progress says, is a lot smaller than that. Sometimes they have a tax rate as low as 1% because they derive the bulk of their income from stock appreciation. They use complicated strategies,
right.
Some of them to make sure those gains don't get classified as taxable
income. And none
income.
Of that the 99% has access to.
No.
Not a single bit of that.
What's your point, frankly?
Exactly. All right. John on the most annoying Muppet, Grover. Hello, John.
Geez, the 60-minute episode last night, I wanted to reach through that television and just strangle that man. He's the most condescending piece of crap walking the face of this earth. He's so full of himself. And you're so right. He needs to be marginalized. His organization needs to be marginalized. They're right now doing it to themselves a little bit because people are starting to realize that we don't have a true definition for greed in this country. And as soon as we do come to that definition of greed, Grover Norquist's picture will be right next to that definition in the dictionary. And it's just disgusting that the working class can still follow this man. And then the people running for office, the congressmen and the senators and stuff, signing these pledges to this day still. And then just to be so scared to go against this guy when the things that drove his pledges 20 years ago economically have nothing to do with the economic problems of today.
That's right.
The economic problems of today come from the fact that the job creators are not the billionaires that Reagan and the trickle-down economic theorists wanted us to believe.
Thank you.
The job creators are people like me who are goddamn carpenters,
yep.
who are plumbers, who are electricians, people who earn $40,000 to $45,000 a year and then turn around and have an apprentice or a worker with them making $25,000-$30,000 a year. We're the job creators, the billionaires.
Thank you. You are the smartest boy in class today. Thank you, John. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Yeah, right. You too. I appreciate
it. They're job creators, all right. Overseas.
Yeah.
You know, China, Burkina Faso.
Yeah.
But wherever they can find the cheapest slave labor.
But he's right. Grover Norquist is the most annoying Muppet ever.
Yep.
Oh, hello there. This is your old pal, Grover. Yeah. Oh, I am so glad you are here. You must sign my pledge to shun Bert and Ernie.
All right, while that guy was talking, I was, you can see on Ustream, I was dumpster diving.
Yeah, we could hear it, too.
Yeah, sorry. I had to find this piece again.
What?
On the pledge, it's from the New York Times, a pledge on taxes may scuttle a deal on the deficit. It's just, it makes all the points exactly that we've been trying to make for the longest time here. Historically, it just doesn't make sense. We were talking about in 1982, they did a poll. 77% said deficit should be reduced by spending cuts alone. Now it's the exact opposite. 75% of Americans think we should tax the rich to close the deficit. Experts say they don't know how to explain this, but say it could reflect today's lower tax rates. You've got to keep repeating it. 1982, the top tax rate was 50%. It's now 35%. And the pollster was saying sometimes it's not the attitudes that change.
That's outrageous.
It's the facts.
I won't pay it.
Exactly. But they just talk about the different makeup of Congress that there was, even with Reagan, when he raised taxes 11 times.
Well, there I go again.
Yeah, there he went again. Again, someone's saying there was much more willingness to reach across the aisle in a bipartisan manner for the good of the country as opposed to the next election. And then they just talk about the Republican old guard was replaced with all of these people hostage to people like Grover Norquist. And by the way, Newt Gingrich was one of those people that started this. that got this country into this mess. And it's just, I mean, it's, okay. All right. This is my point.
Uh-huh.
45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, it's a cross between beautiful and gross. I want to cry and vomit.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Woo-hoo. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Dave in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Mama.
Hey, baby.
We're getting too distracted by the crazy, I think. You know, we're kind of all sitting around going, I can't believe these people. I can't believe what they say. It's so insane. And it's kind of like the story I once heard, a friend of mine whose family was complaining about another relative who was psychotic, and they kept complaining about the crazy behavior, and finally the doctor said, yeah, he's crazy. What do you expect? This is how they act. So I think we have to almost take that kind of approach with the Republican Party right now, the teabaggers and so forth. We understand what they are and not get so addled by the crazy. I think we also need to stop focusing on something scared and depressed and start to get angry about what they're doing and how they're doing it, and then take a very direct approach and keep exposing them for what they are. The good news is, like, Grover Norquist is doing a terrific job of exposing himself.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't mean to say it quite
well, I mean,
that
right, way. To say on TV, Dave, I'm going to primary any Republican that doesn't keep this pledge to not, and it just, it makes no sense mathematically or fiscally.
Well, we've got emotionally and spiritually and psychologically stunted people who have been able to manage to get themselves in front of the public now and claim that they're the voice of reason.
Yeah.
And we have to call them what they are. We need a few more children who say the emperor has no clothes.
Yep.
And eventually the message is going to get through. People are going to see it.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, we got to get this up, Chris, on the website. Tax pledge may scuttle a deal on the deficit from the New York Times over the weekend. But it just, you can't say it enough. You've got to look at historical perspective. In the five fiscal grand bargains of the 80s and 90s, tax increases accounted for an average of 61 cents of every dollar saved. In fact, President Reagan's 82 and 84 budget trimming deals, more than 80% of deficit reduction came from tax increases. They passed with a majority of support from both parties. Mr. Reagan raised taxes 11 times over the, and yep. They're talking about zero now. They're talking about zero going, coming from, you know, taxing people their fair share. I mean, it's
now up on your Facebook page and on your Google Plus page.
That is like magic. Okay. Carter in Louisiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Carter.
Hi, Steph. I'm a Republican that paid $3.3 million in taxes last year.
Did you now?
The problem is not, I would not mind paying more taxes. It's the spending of the taxes that are raised, the irresponsible spending, such as in welfare, unemployment benefits extending beyond 2 years. And so on and so forth. I would think you would find the majority of Republicans, as in under Reagan, you're absolutely correct, he did raise taxes, but it was the spending of the taxes that were raised.
Okay. First of all, what do you do that you're so fortunate that you paid $3.3 million in taxes last year?
I graduated from college. I started my own business and put everything on the line and risked all I had. And 11 years later, I sold my company.
And what do you do?
It's a oil field rental company in the Gulf of Mexico.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, oil.
Okay.
So you want to get rid of the Department of Energy, too.
So you're at the top tax rate now, which is 35%.
I'm assuming, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, you don't
know? Well, it was 50% under Reagan.
You don't know your tax rate that you pay?
No, I have a CPA to calculate.
Okay, you should probably learn your tax rate.
What is that beeping exactly?
Oh, it's my fuzz buster. I'm going down the road, but I'm about to turn it off for you.
Oh, that allows you to break the law and not and not pay the consequences.
Thank you. Thank you for breaking the law and not paying the consequences.
All right. I don't. He seemed a little fuzzy on the details of his millions.
I'm not sure.
That was real scary.
Oh, I just woke up and there's a bunch of money there.
Yeah, as we were asking him for more specifics, it was kind of falling apart.
I make stuff that people want to buy.
All right.
I went to college.
Yes. To college. All right. Oh, damn it. A pointer was arrested. We've got a pointer arrested.
A pointer is down.
A pointer is down.
She went crazy, apparently.
Yeah, LAPD say Bonnie. Bonnie Pointer.
She's good. Well.
She was always the scampy one. She has been arrested for investigation of possessing rock cocaine.
She was
arrested after the car she was riding, it was pulled over for a mechanical malfunction.
Oh, no.
I wonder if she had to do the neutron dance instead of walk the... I bet she did. If they asked her to walk the line, she probably did the neutron dance.
What is the neutron dance?
Who knows? I love it. If you've got a mechanical problem with your car, don't bring the rock cocaine with you when you're riding around.
Maybe she was storing the rock cocaine in the taillight. Light up. Probably.
That might be wrong. What happened to the taillight? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm sorry. There's too much rock cocaine in there. That's causing it to malfunction. Oh, dear. All right.
She's just burning the rock cocaine doing the neutron dance.
All right. And breaking news, it was news to nobody from Hollywood. Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher.
What?
Yes. Officially.
You know, they're the same age apart.
Say
Lisa
it
and I
so.
Are.
Really?
Oh, dear.
Oh, wow.
Oh, dear. Ashton Kutcher's cheating on his wife was the straw that broke the camel's back. But this is according to Radar Online. It was the open marriage that was led to the downfall. I didn't know this. An insider said everyone in Hollywood knows about their arrangement. They managed to keep it secret from the general public.
So then what's the problem?
Squeezy, here's your part. Demi is attracted to women just as much as men, so she didn't always get all she needed from Ashton.
Maybe we
both need to go comfort her. All right.
I'll go all Herman Cain on her ass.
All right.
He is Squeezy McKeelpants. Herman Cain.
Good God.
Gift from the comedy gods.
Let's see. Delisted writing Natalie Wood investigation reopened.
This is awful.
Nearly 30 years, the L.A. County Sheriff's Office has reopened it. Maybe she was murdered.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have all these. That story always just seems so weird to me. They're saying Robert Wagner's not a suspect, but the boat captain is saying... Yeah.
That this woman heard her cries for help, it turns out, but I'd never heard that.
I'd never heard
years.
That.
Yeah. You know, the boat captain says he lied, and it's just hard to know what...
Because
he thinks Robert Wagner is responsible, but the police are saying he's not a suspect, so I don't know what that means, but it's very sad. All right. By the by, we were talking about Occupy all morning, and there was an interesting story about Portland, which is the first show of the...
City by the
Sexy
Bay!
Sexy Liberal!
City by the River.
Yeah. First show of Sexy Liberal 2012 in January 7th. We can't wait to get up to Portland. I have never been, would you believe?
Really?
Yes.
I hear it's a very lovely city.
Cannot wait. We have lots of folks who went to the Seattle show that are going to head on up to Portland. So get your tickets now, January 7th. Anyway, he's the first openly gay mayor to lead a major American city.
Yeah, Sam Adams, actually.
His name is Sam Adams.
Sam Adams.
So many reasons he could be a future husband. Did he beat out, I don't know, was there...
Schlitz?
Was he Mr. Schlitz?
Or Jenny Cream Ale?
Did he beat out Jenny?
My lovely wife, Jenny Cream Ale.
That'd be funny if all the debaters were beers. Yeah. But he's the progressive mayor of one of the nation's most progressive cities, and his police force recently stormed in riot gear through a camp full of believers. He said it's turned into a brawl over porta-potties and crime. You know, and he's not happy about it. The decision to close the occupies have been heart-wrenching for mayors in many cities, particularly Portland and Seattle, where bicycle-riding, carbon-hating politicians probably feel as much sympathy for the people in the camps as for downtown business executives upset about threats to the holiday shopping season. And he said, I support what the movement stands for as a political leader, but as a mayor, I have responsibilities that are different. So, it's not like all black and white, you know.
Right.
He's reportedly a really good guy. So we'll talk more about that tomorrow. We will see you with Charlie Pierce and a lot other Tuesday fun.
Yeah.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.